is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Man, that is great. That is powerful. People say, man, Adam, how do you have so much excitement? And I don't know, but I feel good when I'm here. I feel good when I'm at home. I feel good when I'm at work most of the time. I feel good when I'm asleep. Of course, it's just good to be in the house of the Lord, though, when we come into His presence. And I love being here. Last Sunday, I took a little visit down the road, and I went to see a fellow pastor. He's retiring. And he's retiring next week, but I'll be here next Sunday morning and getting ready for the conference. So I didn't want to see him on his last Sunday. And today they have a guest speaker at his church. I certainly didn't want to go see him to hear a guest speaker at his church. So that's where I was last Sunday. Understand you guys talked about the bread of life last week. What a great experience that is, and a great time just to read His Word and then partake of the Lord's Supper. We had a baptism last Sunday. How fascinating that was with Anthony. And Anthony had surgery Monday. He is home, but still not feeling up to par. He was hoping he could be here today. Just keep him in your prayers as well. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, it's in the Old Testament. Chapter 3 is where we're going. Ezekiel chapter 3. And we'll see some similarities to the graduation Sunday message about doing something when everyone else is doing a different thing. And Ezekiel is the same thing. And Ezekiel was called by the Lord, as many of the prophets were in the Old Testament. He was called by the Lord to do certain things and to convey a message. And that's tough to do sometimes, to convey a message to people who are doing wrong and some that are doing things right, but to convey a message that says God wants you to do it a little differently than you're used to doing. And God is still calling people to do that same thing. So Ezekiel chapter 3, and we'll bounce around in the first couple verses as we read that, but most of it will be in Ezekiel 3. And it says in the first verse, "Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go. Speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that scroll. So the God is saying to him, you need to understand what I'm going to tell you. And throughout this text, it keeps saying that God has given Ezekiel something. It says, know the words that I give you and the words that I tell you to pass on. He's saying, you have to study that. You have to know the words that I want you to convey to the other people here. And in verse 11, he says, go get the captives to the children of your people. Go to the children of your people and speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or whether they refuse. So again, he's saying, go and tell these people what I tell you. They can pick whether they want to hear it or whether they want to refuse it or not. And that is a theme throughout Ezekiel as well as some of the Old Testament books of the Bible as well. God gives people a message to take to the people, and then they choose whether they accept it or whether they deny it or refuse it or run from it and refuse it. It's repeated. As we did our Bible studies just in the first two books, Genesis and Exodus, it was rampant with the same repetition. God telling people, repent and turn away. Do these things and you'll be saved. And they say, some said yes, some said no. We looked at Jonah. Jonah said, no, I don't want to take the message. And then he got in trouble. Then he said, okay, I'll take the message. Then the people received his message. Then years later, they didn't receive that message. They turned from what they had heard. So today, one of our biggest focuses is going to be in verse 16 and on. And it says, now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. And we've studied this before. I've preached on this before. God said, hey, I want you to take this message. You will be a watchman. Be a watchman for the entire house of Israel. And he says, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his sin or his iniquity. But his blood, listen carefully, his blood I will require at your hand. Verse 19 says, yet if you warn him and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his sin or iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. God has given us something to do. He says, hey, I want you to go warn people. And he's made us watchmen as well. I want you to tell people about me. If you don't tell them, if you tell them and they just keep going on their way, man, I don't require your life or your soul or your blood. But if I tell you to warn somebody and you don't do it, they're going to die in their sin. For the wages of sin is what? Death. Wages of sin is death. So they're going to die in their sin. But it says, I will require his blood at your hand. Verse 20 says, again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits sin, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered. I'm going to read that again, because that's important. Verse 20. When a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits sin, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sin. Listen up. And his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. Verse 21. Nevertheless, if you warn that righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning. Also, you will have been delivered, or your soul will have been delivered as well. So Ezekiel is sent to preach a message to the exiles, to the people in Babylon that have left. Jeremiah is in Jerusalem warning people there about the coming destruction. Ezekiel does this. So we should not be surprised when God says, hey, I've given you warning here. I've given you my word. I've sent a prophet. I've sent someone to speak my word to you. And then we choose whether we accept it or deny it, whether we run from it. And the people of God do the same thing. Well, I believe that, but I don't really believe that. Either we do or we don't believe the Bible is the word of God. And Ezekiel was obedient. He took that message. And there's some different things that Ezekiel did, laying on his side for X amount of days and then laying this way. His wife died and he didn't go to the funeral. And a lot of people are saying, wow, what's up with this guy? Think back 2 weeks ago, graduation Sunday, we talked about Noah. Not a cloud in the sky, Noah. What are you doing building this big giant thing in your backyard? Well, God had spoke to Noah and said, hey, I want you to build this ark. And not just build it your way, but build it my way. Remember, he gave him the very specific things. Specific wood, specific dimensions, rooms, windows, doors, what he wanted in it, specific things to let on. Very specific. And God said, do it my way. Now, a lot of times God tells us to do something, but we say, okay, God, I'll do it. I'm going to do it my way, though. And when God gives us specific instruction, it is so important that we listen to that very specific instruction and we follow that. Because that's his will, not the end result necessarily, but the path we take to get there. Now, we always think that we know a better and a quicker path, one with less pain and suffering. But part of that path in getting there may be God saying, I need you to go through this pain and suffering. And I know you don't want to, but I need you to go through this because I've got some people down the road that are going to need your help getting through this when they go through it. And you're going to be the one that helps them through your pain and suffering. So Ezekiel was obedient to the point of others maybe mocking him, saying, you're a little kooky there. I think you're a little disrespectful for not going to the funeral of your wife, Ezekiel. And that's what we face as Christians every day. Our young people face that. Our older folks face that. being obedient to God's will when everyone else is doing their own thing or doing it a little differently. I mean, imagine as a pastor of a church trying to be obedient to how God wants Eric and I to run this church and do His will and His work. Because everyone's got an idea of what the church should be like. Worship should go on for 3 hours. Adam, you didn't even scratch the surface of worship. Adam, worship should be about 2 songs. They should be old hymns with an organ. These drums and whatnot, this electrified stuff is crazy. And there's just different ways to reach people. But we try and be obedient to what God is telling us and what God wants for this church, for this body of believers. Because we all know that the body of believers down the street is different. And the one down the street is different. The one I went to last week is different. Not wrong, just different. But if we're obedient, doing what God says, that's great. It's hard for any generation to be obedient to the will of God. And our young people, when they graduate, man, there are such challenges out there for them when they graduate high school, when they graduate college, when they take on jobs. There's challenges just getting through school. And it's a struggle we all have to confront and hopefully conquer. The song we sang today, man, there's power in the name of Jesus. But it's not just that. There's power in His name, but there's freedom in His name. We sing another song, No Other Name. No Other Name, Jesus. We sang a couple songs today that seemed to be repetitive, and that drives some people nuts, to be honest with you, but I love it because God's Word tells us to meditate on His good works and meditate on these things that are good. And so when we sing those songs, sometimes it's just a repetitive thing just to remind us of His goodness. Lord, You are good and Your mercy endures forever. There's power in what we sing and what we believe in and how we do it. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. As you're turning there, I just want to finish reading something in Ezekiel. But go ahead and turn it into 1 Thessalonians. It says, then the hand of the Lord was upon me there, and He said to me, arise, go out into the plain, and there I shall talk with you. And he rose up, and God said, I want you to do these things. And I fell on my face, and the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. And He spoke with me and said to me, go shut yourself inside your house. He says, I will make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth so that you shall be mute and not be the one to rebuke them, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with you, I will open your mouth and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, he who hears, let him hear, and he who refuses, let him refuse. For they are a rebellious house. There was a Twilight Zone way back in the day episode. And it was about a man that was walking and storms were coming. And he found a castle and he went in there. And the castle was run by monks. And the monks had this crazy guy locked up. And he went and looked at the guy. And the guy was kind and gentle. And he went and talked to him and he said, let me out, man. It's the crazy monk, the crazy head monk. He's a nuts guy. He's insane. I mean, look at me. I'm gentle. I'm kind. I was walking here just like you. And he put me in prison. I need you to let me out. And the guy said, well, sounds good enough. And he went to the monk and said, hey, I talked to this guy. And the monk said, no, you cannot let this guy out. And he gets a little irritated and agitated. He says, you cannot let this guy out. Man, he is the devil. And that guy thought, yeah, that guy's right. The monk's the crazy guy. And he let him out and immediately smoke appears. The guy turned into the devil and disappears. And he went to the head monk and he said, I never dreamed. He was so gentle and so kind. I never saw it coming. And the guy said, well, no kidding. That is our downfall. Because the enemy comes across as very sweet, kind, very glittery and sparkly. very fascinating, very entertaining. And we think, oh, this is so neat. Guys and girls, listen up. Dating people, listen up. They come across as very sparkly to us. And we think, oh, this is great. Let me tell you, if they're not walking with God, you better rethink that situation. And even if they are walking with God, be careful of all the glitter and sparkle as well. You see, this guy didn't recognize the enemy because the enemy seemed so subdued and so calm and just kind of drifted in and sat among other people. In a group, he looked just like anybody else. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. You know, Ezekiel was set out to be a watchman. In First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, and then suddenly destruction, it comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness." Church, you are not in darkness. "So that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and the sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. But let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath." Did you hear that, church? God did not appoint us to wrath. Man, what a great story right there in itself. "But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore also," this isn't in here, I'm just making commentary now. "Therefore we also have to take that word of God to other people, so that they may obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. Verse 10, "Through our Lord Jesus Christ who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." That last verse, comfort one another. Comfort each other and edify one another. Jesus Christ did that with us. We want to do the same things. James chapter 3 verse 2 says, "We all stumble in many things." But again, we don't have to worry about the day of the Lord when that time comes. We all stumble in many things. We're called to be watchmen, to watch out for one another, to warn one another, to give other people the word of God. And it says, be prepared to give our testimony for our hope that is in us. R.C. Sproul did a class many years ago with students. He had 250 students. He said, "I'm going to give you right at the beginning, I'm going to give you what I need you to do. I need three papers. One the last day of the month, September, one in October, one in November. There are no excuses, no extensions. You have it to my desk on time." Time for the first one. And out of the 250 students, 225 turned in papers. 25 said, "Man, I am so sorry. Things just got going. I hadn't quite transitioned from high school to college. I'll turn it in." He said, "Okay, I'll let you." The next one came due in October. That number was a little less. That number was 200. That means 50 students didn't turn it in. And I said, "Yeah, but it was homecoming weekend and we just screwed up and didn't make enough time. Man, please," they begged him, "please let us turn it in late." And even though he said there are no excuses, no extensions, he let him turn it in late. And then November came. 100 students turned in their paper. That means 150 did not. They said, "Please extend the date for us. He said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. They said, that's not fair. And he said, you want justice? Here's your justice. I told you to have it in on this date, no extensions. Every one of you takes an F. That's justice. You take an F because you didn't do what I told you. But you had extended it here and here. When justice comes, when it came for these students, they weren't prepared for it. When justice comes for us, just like the day of the Lord, we can't be sleeping. We have to be prepared for it. Those students were not prepared when justice came. They had had mercy extended to them, and mercy extended to them, and mercy extended to them. And then they cried out, it's not fair! He said, I gave you the rules up front. I told you no extension. Oh, come on. I told you no extensions. And now I lost my train of thought. And he said, this is justice. You have to be ready for it. They were unprepared individuals. We'll close with this before the microphone shuts off. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 13. I hear pages turning. That's great, so I'll wait just a minute. Romans chapter 14, verse 13 says, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore. That means they'd been doing it. Let us not do that anymore, but rather resolve this. That means let us commit to this today. Not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Amen? So we've got to make a choice today. Number one, stop judging. Let us not judge anyone anymore. That means you've been doing it. Quit doing it. Resolve today. Commit today. Decide today. Choose today. Not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. We read before, it says, lift them up, edify them, accept them, receive them. I think over in chapter 15, verse 7, it says, therefore receive one another. Receive one another. How? Just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. We are to receive one another and welcome one another and accept one another. And it tells us to do these things. We're to warn one another like Ezekiel did, telling them about it, being the mouthpiece for God. And let me tell you, a lot of people have a tough time holding a friend accountable because they said, well, I don't want to judge them. You're not judging them when you're telling them, God says not to do this. God will give them the judgment. He'll judge them, not you. God will judge them. Our job is to warn them, to tell them about it, to share the gospel with them. Share your testimony with somebody. Just be prepared. What was life like before Christ? What is it like with Christ now? What do you see as your future? Man, give them a hope. Give them a hope for what they see in you, what they like about you. Receive one another, how just as Christ also received. Some of you know you are going down a wrong path. Some of you know you are doing things that aren't pleasing to God. And some of you know people that are doing things that aren't pleasing to God or going down the wrong path. And I'm telling you, if they are brother or sister in Christ, he says, warn them about it. Do not put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. When these seats are empty and you know somebody should be sitting in it, call them up. Hey, where have you been? What are you doing? You can't do this alone. Those are tough conversations to have. They're tough as a pastor to have. What are you doing? You can't fix this alone. I can't fix it for you. But when you're in fellowship, something about that sometimes lifts you up. It lifts you up. But God calls us to do these things. We need to choose today how we will respond to these things. Ezekiel was set as a watchman. As believers, we are watchmen for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thessalonians, it said, watch and be ready. When God extends His mercy to us, don't think that goes forever, because when His justice comes, just like the teacher that said, you want what you deserve? Take your F. I should have given it to you in the beginning. Now you get an F. They were unprepared for the judgment that came. Romans, we're called to be part of the road maintenance crew. Remove stumbling blocks. Keep the path clear. Lift one another up. I don't know why I'm happy all the time, almost all the time, but I enjoy trying to lift people up. I enjoy people lifting me up, just for the record. But when we come and have fellowship with God and commune with God and are in this body of believers, I can go around the room watching you guys as we're singing songs and doing those things, watching you sitting back there, watching our young people wake up when they'd rather be sleeping, and I know that, seeing a family together here. A family here, a couple here, nodding, getting amens. Amens back here, thank you for that. A couple sitting together. Here leading Bible study, praising during praise and worship, bringing children to church. And it goes on and on. Watching the niece, you know, bringing a brand new baby back there. Jan, I'm trying to look right over your head just so you're not confused there, Jan. Jan being here, coming with your mother-in-law. Mother-in-law, our oldest attendee at church. We have another one in the VA Center down in Norman, but Miss Dorothy in the very back. Griff being here. Tim and Pam and bringing the grandkids and the kids. And it goes on and on. Our new members bringing the family and coming to help us serve. Bringing the kids. Coming and helping us participate last week. Bringing the motorcycle out. All right. Come with your husband. Experience a new relationship with Jesus Christ like never before. Coming when nobody else is coming. Coming for your sake. Coming for your sake. The whole church is filled with people doing things. That's what lifts me up. There's two things that I call life-changing for believers, and that's the way we act and the way we speak to one another. Today, I just want you to make a choice, man. Am I going to help watch out for others? Am I going to help remove stumbling blocks from people, but also not to pick it up, move it out of someone else's path, and toss it in someone else's path? We do that sometimes intentionally and unintentionally when we're removing debris. It's like a dog or, you know, digging a hole or whatever and burying their bone. We think, that's great. Now you just threw it all over me. We can remove a stumbling block here and throw it in someone else's path unknowingly. Worse yet, knowingly, but unknowingly at times. So be careful when we do those things. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray for our meal today. And just bless you guys. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful today, Lord. We're thankful for You. Heavenly Father, we just remember this Memorial Weekend for those that have served so long ago, generations and generations ago, that fought for our freedom, paid the price for our freedom. Lord, the fact that we can worship You freely is to their honor for protecting us. Lord, we ask You to be with those serving today, those in this congregation that have served in the past, that continue to serve. Lord, be with them, protect them. God, today as we heard Your message of Ezekiel, People looked at him differently, Lord. But you gave him a mission to be a watchman. You gave him a mission to do your will, and he did it and was obedient. God, help us when we seek your will to be obedient to that and not worry about what others think about us. Let us serve with gladness in our heart. Let us give with gladness in our heart. God, help us just to become servants to one another, to strangers. And then, God, help us protect our tongue. Your word says such a small thing has such great power. God, help protect us from using that great and mighty weapon in a manner displeasing to you. Saying and doing things that dishonor you. But let us use it instead to glorify you in your name. Lord, before I bless our food today, I just want to give people an opportunity to respond to your message, to your word. And today I'm just looking for those that say, hey, I need to change. I want to make a choice. Would you just raise your hand up so that I can pray for you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. God, we just thank you for that. Lord, we lift them up that have raised their hand. God, for those that aren't able to raise their hand, for whatever reason, Lord, we just ask you to bless them as well, Lord. Help get them to a place of freedom. Now, Father, as we continue to fellowship with our brothers and sisters, we ask you to bless the food to the nourishment of our bodies and bless the fellowship to the nourishment of our souls. Lord, we thank you for those that have come to serve, those that have prepared food. Lord, we ask you to bless them as well. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.